A decorated Air Force general could soon be the next highest-ranking military officer in the U.S. As Stephanie Tsai reports, the president's pick to replace General Mark Milley as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is both strategic and symbolic.
At the White House today, President Biden announced General Charles Q. Brown, Jr., known as CQ, to lead the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
General Brown has become known for his signature approach: accelerate change or lose. Accelerate change or lose. General, you're right on.
If confirmed, Brown would become the president's senior military advisor.
When I'm flying, I put my helmet on, my visor down, my mask up. You don't know who I am.
Commissioned in 1984, Brown piloted F-16 fighter jets, a persona played up in this Air Force recruiting ad.
You just know I'm an American airman, kicking your butt.
And while General Brown is a proud butt-kicking American airman, first and always, he's also been an operational leader in the Joint Force.
Brown rose through the ranks to become instructor and commander of the U.S. Air Force Weapons School. He served as commander of the Pacific Air Forces and commander of Air Force assets in the Middle East. 3 years ago, the four-star general was confirmed as the Air Force Chief of Staff. He's credited other black men who paved the road before him, including the late Colin Powell, the first black Joint Chiefs of Staff. If confirmed, the two top positions at the Pentagon would both be held by African-American leaders, a first. Not by coincidence, President Biden made the announcement on the three-year anniversary of the murder of George Floyd, a moment that caused so many black men to reflect on their own experiences.
Here's what I'm thinking about.
At the time, General Brown weighed in with a deeply personal video.
I'm thinking about the pressure I felt to perform error-free, especially for supervisors I perceive had expected less from me as an African-American. I'm thinking about wearing the same flight suit with the same wings on my chest as my peers, and then being questioned by another military member, "Are you a pilot?"
It was a rare moment of candor in a buttoned-up military culture that has not been immune to the political divide.
For more on the General C.Q. Brown's nomination, we turn to someone who knows him well. Retired General Vincent Brooks' last assignment was as commander of U.S. forces in North Korea, and he joins us now. General, it's great to have you on the NewsHour. So you have worked with General Brown for years, from what I understand. What's he like as a person? What is he like as a commander?
Well, Stephanie, it's first great to be with you, and congratulations to General Brown on his nomination and to Secretary of Defense and the President for making a great choice. General Brown is just a great individual. He's a true professional. He's liked and admired by his colleagues, his peers, and followed very well by his subordinates. He's extremely experienced in different regions of the world, in combat action and in senior leadership in lots of places, and he's been in the Joint Force for a long time. So he's superbly qualified for this, a great guy.
How does having been in command in both the Pacific and the Middle East distinguish him from other top brass?
Well, not everyone gets that kind of experience. You know, if you're fortunate, you might get a chance to command in one region of the world. General Brown has had the privilege of being able to command in multiple regions of the world. He's stood face to face against North Korea. As a more junior commander, he's led at senior levels in the Middle East against the Islamic State, standing off against Iran with deterrence, conducting operations throughout the Middle East in Iraq and Afghanistan. And of course, as you've mentioned, in the entire Indo-Pacific region, where he gained tremendous experience in relating to all of the air forces throughout each of those regions.
And I imagine in those roles, he would have also played an important role communicating with our allies' militaries. This seems particularly important as far as countering China's military. Is that right?
That's certainly right. The United States is a global leader. It's globally engaged. And countries around the world turn to the United States for examples of professionalism as well as skill in the military art. And so his engagements with other air forces around the world and other senior defense leaders, not just air forces, will be very important to this role as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
When it comes to internal problems in the U.S. military, and there are many, including the reports of sexual assault, in the Air Force in particular, reporting of sexual assault rose significantly last year when he was Air Force chief. Is he doing enough to address this persistent problem?
Well, it is a persistent problem, and it requires constant attention to it and work to try to drive that behavior away. Teammates don't do that to one another, and I know that he takes that very seriously and will continue to do so as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. But no one person can change that. They can certainly create the tone from the top, and I'm confident that he's done that and will continue to do that.
How would you contrast General Brown with General Milley, who during the end of President Trump's term really became a lightning rod for partisan politics? How is General Brown different?
Well, both of them are members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so they work closely with each other on a day-to-day basis. But contrary to sometimes what Hollywood shows, generals are not all cut from the same cloth. So every general is a different individual, every admiral as well. And they bring their personality, they bring their experiences to bear. I'd say General Milley is known to be a bit more expressive than General Brown is known to be, but both of them provide superb professional military advice to the Secretary of Defense, to the National Security Council, the Homeland Security Council, and to the President as required, being the senior military person to do so in each role. And I'm confident that that part will be consistent when they bring their personalities to bear in different ways.
Do you think if he becomes chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he continues to represent the Black experience vocally in the way that we saw him do in that poignant video after the death of George Floyd? Does he continue to address systemic racism in the military?
He can do so from a very important position, again, setting the tone from the top as he and the other Joint Chiefs talk about what's important. And as they inform the service secretaries and the Secretary of Defense, as they communicate with and to Congress, this is in a very, very important role to certainly be a representative. And he is clearly a distinguished representative for African Americans, but he's more than that. And he will bring all of these characteristics to bear as he helps to try to change the culture in the military and, to an extent, impact the culture of society as well in a favorable and positive way that fulfills his view and so many of our views of what is the ideal for the United States, where we do have inclusion, we have cooperation, we have support, we have advocacy, and we're not walking past one another and ignoring talent that exists in our population and in our ranks.
Mm. General Vincent Brooks, thank you so much for joining us with your perspective. And I do want to clarify for our viewers that General Brooks was the commander of U.S. forces in Korea, obviously not North Korea, as I misstated earlier. Sir, thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. Take care.